Good morning, family. Isn't that one of the easiest questions to answer, right? Yes. Yes, we know He cares. Isn't it good to be a child of God? It's great to be in the house of the Lord, to be with God's people, to worship together, to smile, to laugh, and even sometimes to cry, as we'll talk about a little bit in our lesson this morning. Before we get started, though, I want to, you know, we're a family that loves to celebrate. I think already twice, maybe, we've talked about our new brother in Christ, Chris Yanez, but we want to have him stand again, and I'll tell you what, if you come this way, meet me in the middle, Chris, I'm going to give you your baptismal certificate. We like to celebrate. Can everybody say amen? All right, brother. Should have gave that to him a couple weeks ago, but we get around to it eventually. You want to have your Bibles open to Psalm chapter 34? That would be great this morning as we look at the lesson in Psalm chapter 34. I have a letter that I want to read to you. I sort of just scribbled a bunch of things on a piece of paper, so it's not an official letter, but just pretend like it's a letter. This is a letter to you. This is a letter to you, you who've had a rough week. A letter to you, you who have been, you've burnt the toast on both sides. To you who got not one but two flat tires in 1 week. A letter to you, the one that seems to be under constant storm clouds. To you that feels invisible sometimes in life. To you that doesn't know how much longer you can hold on. To you who has lost faith. To you who always blames yourself for everything that goes wrong. If you feel dirty, you're not too dirty for God to clean you. If you feel broken, you're not too broken for God to fix. If you feel far from God, you're not out of His reach. If you feel too guilty, you're not too guilty for God to forgive. You are incredible. You make this world a little bit more wonderful. You have so much potential and so many things left to do in life. You have time. Better things are coming your way. Look up to God and get your second wind. Heaven will be worth it. I hope you have your Bibles open to Psalm chapter 34 this morning. You'll follow along with the lesson that's in the bulletin, the outline that's there. We're going to talk this morning about a broken heart. Maybe it's your broken heart we're talking about this morning. Those of you who have come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you feel very blessed by God. Nothing can compare to the joy of forgiveness and the hope of heaven. It's great to have a sense of purpose, to have a self-worth based upon the cross of Jesus Christ, to feel as though you're loved by God, to feel confident, to know that you have a purpose in life. It is a great feeling. But that doesn't mean that as a Christian in life, that you get to escape all the problems and all the troubles, and yes, even all of the heartache. We have our problems, we have our struggles, we have our unpleasant moments, we have tragic situations that overtake us, things that come into our lives and almost literally break our hearts. And sometimes in life, things happen that unsettle us to the extent that we feel as though the broken heart is not mendable, that it is not something that we can recover from, that we walk around often with broken hearts. I had the privilege, the blessing, let's see if he's here this morning. I don't see, is Dion here this morning? No, he's not here. I had the privilege of joining the Browns this last, was it Friday night, that we saw Dion in a play. It was a play based upon the story of a young man growing up that had contracted the HIV virus. And the story throughout went on about his growing up, his struggles, his pains, his rejection by his friends. And then at the end of the play, as they were concluding the play, they were showing him in the hospital room, slowly dying of AIDS. The parents came in. They tried to console him. He had a best friend, which was Dion, that came in, tried to console him, tried to be with him, tried to give him strength. And all throughout, they never mentioned prayer. They never mentioned God. And you watch this young man, his parents and his friend, his life slowly slipping away, and they had no hope. Nothing to hang on to, but just to say, it's going to be okay. Somehow, some way, I don't know, we're going to survive this. I don't know how people make it without God in life. Amen? I don't know how they do it. I really don't understand how you can hang on to nothing when everything through way of God is available to you. I am often, as a minister, perplexed by trying to handle a discussion such as this where someone says, how do I deal with suffering? How can I make it? How can I survive the suffering and the heartache in life? The Bible really doesn't explain suffering at all. When you look at it, I don't see any clear-cut theology on suffering and, you know, this is why and this is when it's going to happen. This is how, there's no theology, a perfect theology on this in the Bible. The Bible doesn't really explain suffering, but what it does teach us to do is how to handle suffering, how to recover from a broken heart. Jesus said, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be what? Comforted. Are you comforted by that passage? I am. He didn't say, blessed are those who mourn, because one day you'll figure it out. One day you'll connect the dots and things will start to have a reason to it. He said, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. How can you be blessed by God when you have a broken heart? How can you make it through? It's by receiving the comfort of God. And today I want to show you how you can heal your broken heart, how you can receive comfort from God. Three quick things that you'll see here on the outline. First of all, you need to realize through all of it, God is with you. And we'll talk about that in this 34th Psalm. God, realize that God is with you. And once you've realized His presence, His steady presence in your life, then what you need to do is find a way to release the hurt. And we're going to talk about that as well. And then finally, at the end, we'll look into the valuable resources that are available to us that will help us through those times of suffering and receive, again, the comfort of God. The first step here is you need to realize that God is with you. Look at this psalm with me again. I love the promise in these words. It says, the Lord is close to those who are brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. When we're hurting, sometimes what we do is we forget where God is. We forget that He's still near us. He hasn't left us. There'll be times when we leave God, but when that happens, you have to say, well, guess who moved? Not God, you move. But God says, I will be near, I'll be close by those who are brokenhearted, those who are crushed in spirit. The fact is that God is there. He's never left your side. He's made that promise to you. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. God is with you in your pain. Now, I want you to remember three things when you are hurting, when you are suffering a broken heart. Remember, first of all, that God has His eye on you. Job said in Job chapter 13 and verse 27, Job said, God keeps a close watch on all my ways. It's hard to believe, but God never takes His eye off of you. which means that if he has his eye on you, and he has his eye on me, and he has his eye on over 7 other billion people on this planet, he's a pretty good watchdog, isn't he? He's watching over every, he has his eye on you. In fact, nothing escapes his attention. Every little detail of life goes in God's record book. The Bible says, the psalmist says, that God counts every one of your tears. You may end up tomorrow crying. And as you're crying on your pillow, as you're suffering your broken heart, I'm going to guarantee you that God is saying, when he sees that next tear come down, rolling your, down your cheek, he sees that next tear, he's saying, 8,129, 8,130, 8,131. He's doing that for you. He's doing that for your neighbor. He's doing that for every person in Phoenix, for every person in Arizona, for every person throughout this planet. God is counting every tear, every breath, every moment, every detail of your life. That's amazing to me. Surely you've said before, oh, no one knows what I'm going through. Oh, yes, God knows. He knows everything. God knows, and he's aware of your whole life history even before you've experienced those things in your life. He's already got it written down in his record book. He's a good record keeper. But not only does he have his eye on you, secondly, the psalmist says that he cares for you. The Bible says that, in fact, Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, casting all your cares on him, for he cares for you as an individual. You can bring your cares to God. You can cast all your cares. I love in the original language when it says cast, that word cast means to violently throw. You know, ever wanted to throw things in your house? You're really angry about something? Hey, listen, throw them on God's shoulders. He can take care of it. Even if you have to violently throw them, they go, here, God, have this. I don't want this anymore. And he says, I will care about you even in your frustrated moments, even in your broken heart. God cares. He has his eye on you. And secondly, he cares. The pain that you experience really does matter to God. You can talk to him about all your cares, big or small, no matter whatever they are. God really cares for you. It's not just a trite saying. He cares. And then thirdly, not only does God have his eye on you and does he care about everything, but God really does want to help you out in everything that you're going through. The Bible says that you can boldly approach God's throne knowing that you will find grace to help you in your time of need. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. You got a need? You got some grace you need from God? The Bible says you can boldly go before God and he is going to hear you. He's going to give you grace. He's going to help you out in your time of need. So his eye is always on you. He cares for you. And he'll help you out with your hurt. Well, again, in all of this, just realize that God is with you, just as the psalmist said. Some people, they go through their pain, and some people grow through their pain. And while other people are growing through their pain, there are other people who get stuck in their pain. Some people never get past their hurt. Why? Because they don't go to the second step that we're going to talk about now. First of all, you have to realize God's with you. His eyes are on you. He cares for you. He wants to help you out in your time of need. And thirdly, then, what you need to do, and this is the challenge, because we like to hold on to things. You need to release your hurt to God. I heard an amen there. You need to release your hurt to God. You need to be an Elsa. You need to let it go. Let it go. Well, it's hard for us to do, isn't it? How can we let it go? Well, you need to, first of all, stop focusing on what you lost and start focusing on what is left. Because God always gives you something left if you'll look for it. There's going to be loss. There's going to be pain. There's going to be suffering. There's going to be a sense in which you look at something and say, this was bad. Look, this bad thing came out of it. I lost this. But start to look at what is left because there's always something left. In Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 18, God says, don't dwell on the past. behold, I am going to be, I'm going to do a new thing. Do you like that promise from God's Word? He says, let go. You know, sometimes we're just holding on to the past, and God says, you got all this stuff, you're crowding your life with it. I can't give you something, you have no space left for me to give you something new. You've got to let go of what is past. So God says, then I'm about to do something wonderfully new. The past is behind you, and it should not interfere with your future. Always picture yourself driving in a car. Look through the front windshield, and I'm going to ask you a question. Which is bigger, the front windshield or the rearview mirror? You see? Look to what God has in front of you. The past, oh yes, you've had some things that hurt you, but those things are in the past. You've got to let go of that. You've got to move forward with the future. Some of you are letting some people from your past actually continue to hurt you. They've done something to upset you. You're angry with them. You don't like what they did to you. And you won't let it go. And you won't move on with the future and see something that God has in front of you. And God's trying to do something new in your life. But again, you're stuck on the past. Listen again. Realize that God is with you. And then secondly, release your hurt. You know, when someone gets mad at you, there are some options that you have to deal with your hurt, to deal with the way they hurt you. You can repress it, you can rehearse it, you can resent it, or what? You can decide to release it. Let's look at these options very quickly. The first one, you can repress it. That is, you can just act like it never happened. And the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 26, be angry and what? Do not sin. It goes on to say, do not let the sun go down on your wrath. You see, you've got to let it go. But what we do is we repress it. We hang on to it. Or we just pretend like it is not there. This is sort of like the Clint Eastwood approach. Suffer in silence. You know, bite the bullet. Be a man. Be a cowboy. You know, rough it out. We'll just repress it. It's really not there. Second option is rehearse it. These are the ones that just, in life, they just keep hitting the rewind button all the time. And they go back and listen to it all over again. And it's the same story. It hasn't changed. It's still bad. They still don't like it. And they just keep rehearsing the pain over and over again. They forget. But what does the Bible say again? Isaiah 43 verse 18. Forget the past. Don't dwell on it. Option number three. These are the folks that have a lot of bitterness in their life. They resent things. And sometimes it's really, really odd because when we resent things and we resent others, a lot of times we're actually resenting God. We're resenting that God put them in there, that God put this situation in my life. We resent those things. There's a bitterness there. But in reality, we're resenting God. Job, in Job chapter 18 and verse 4, he says, when you're angry, you're only hurting yourself. And that's what we do. It's like trying to, you know, you want to get revenge on someone, but it's like you got some poison you want to give them, and it's like you drinking the poison yourself. And you're just resenting it. There's bitterness, there's poison in your heart, you can't go on. Well, how about the last option? How about we, instead of repressing it, rehearsing it, resenting it, how about we just release it? I want you to look at this passage with me here in Romans chapter 12 and verse 19. The Apostle Paul wrote, he said, beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. What place does wrath, whose place is wrath? Belongs to God, right? Give place to it. Let God have it. Let Him release it to Him. Let Him deal with the situation. Let God settle the score. You need to let God handle it, because I'll tell you something. That's not your job. Revenge is not in your title. Judge, revenge, lawgiver, those things, that's not your job description. That belongs to God. Who do you think in your life can do a better job at getting revenge on your enemies? You or God? You see, I'll tell you something. I don't know that this is true. This may not be flawless theology here. But I sort of have this feeling that when God wants to step in and take care of matters for you, and as we say, settle the score, and we jump in and we figure out we're going to do it our way, I think God just steps back and says, okay, let's see how you're going to mess this one up. Let's see how you're not going to bring true justice to this situation. In fact, even make matters worse. Maybe I'll teach you a lesson and let you handle the revenge department today. And God says, I'll take a vacation, let you deal with the revenge. And then we mess it all up. And God says, if you'd have just let me do it, I could have done it the right way and you wouldn't have all these problems, right? It belongs to God. A lot of things happen to us that are actually out of our control. Someone did something to you that you could not control, but it's not out of God's control, so give it to God because He's the one who can handle it. Remember, God sees everything that happens to every person. His eye is on every situation. He's not going to let something slip. I know you think, oh God, you weren't noticing this person did this to me. No, God was noticing it, and God will reward them or God will punish them. Nothing goes unrewarded. Nothing goes unpunished. God is on top of it. He's been running this planet for a long time, and He'll keep doing it until the end of time. It is His control. So give God your hurt, release it to Him, let Him handle it. You've got to let it go. Someone said, for God to heal your broken heart, you've got to give Him all the pieces. We want to hang on to some of those pieces. Give it to Him. Let Him handle it. Release it. He knows how to take care of your hurt. He has done a great job throughout history on doing that. Let's go to our last point this morning. We talked about releasing the hurt. Now let's talk about number three. After we have decided to realize that God is with us, and then we release the hurt, the third thing we've got to do now is we've got to rely on God's resources. Now, God promises to heal your broken heart. He promises to deal with your pain and your hurt. Jesus, remember, said, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. The question is, how does God comfort us? What kind of comforters does He use? What kind of resources? Well, these are things that are really actually not like the resources that we use, the things that we use to comfort us. What do? We take painkillers. You know, people get drunk. People go on drugs. People take vacations today, right, to get away from the pain, to deal with the broken heart. We use all these kinds of comforters. But what does God use to comfort us? Well, let's go ahead now. And by the way, that scripture reference is wrong. That should have been Matthew chapter 5, verse 4. So I just noticed that. But let's go on. Let's look at God's comforters. So first of all, God, when He wants to comfort us, He uses something you have hopefully in your hand right now. The scriptures. The Word of God. He uses the Bible. When we immerse ourselves in God's Word, we're going to be comforted. The psalmist in Psalm 119 says this. He says, when I am discouraged, He says, revive me by Your Word, O Lord. Your Word has been my comfort. Yes, God's Word is a comfort to us. The Scriptures are very comforting. The Bible is filled with over 7,000 promises from God. You'll never get a promise book like the Bible. It promises you that God is going to be there for you. It brings you great comfort. And some of you are hurting right now. Really, you're going through some very difficult situations. And maybe you're saying to yourself, does God have a word for me? Yes, He does have a word for you. The word that we just saw in Psalm 34 and verse 18, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He brings comfort to those who are crushed in spirit. Yes, the Word of God comforts us. And some people, you know, here's this magnificent book called the Bible. They're available to comfort us today. And some people, the reason why they don't get that comfort from God is because they're not opening up the Scriptures. Someone said, I feel like God is silent. Well, maybe God is silent because your Bible is closed. You need to open your Bible and find comfort from God. So the Scriptures are one resource. The second resource we have here is the saints. Church, I'll tell you what, in this broken-hearted world that we live in today, we need each other more than ever before. We need to fellowship with each other. Not, that doesn't just mean eating meals. That's all we ever do is eat, right? For fellowship. But we need to get together and pray together and visit together. And I got some folks, in this congregation that love to have people in their home. Now, that's maybe not something for everybody, but I love those ones, those brothers and sisters in Christ, and you know who you are, who love to have folks in your home to fellowship. And that's really important. We need that more in the body of Christ. There's never going to be a Lone Ranger Christian who's going to be able to make it alone in this life. We are a family. And if you don't think you have family, just look beside you right now. You have family all around you, people who really want to care about you. Maybe you don't feel that way because you haven't opened up yourself to other people. Some of us only connect with each other here 1 hour a week on Sunday morning. We're missing out on God's wonderful blessing of fellowship. When we're together, we console one another. And we can share the hurts and the heartaches and the broken hearts with each other. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 4, God comforts us in all of our tribulation that we may be able, it says, to comfort those who are in what? Any trouble. With what? The comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. You have been comforted to comfort. You've been you've received this blessing from God, this comfort from God. You've made it through trials. Someone else may be going through a trial very similar to yours, and God is saying, I put you through that maybe now, so that when you got the comfort, you'll know how to go over and find someone who's going through that same situation, and you'll be able to comfort them as well. We need to comfort one another, to be saints with one another. I want to tell you that whenever you're going through a bad situation in life, God never wastes a hurt. Your hurt now has become a ministry where you can reach out and comfort someone else with the comfort that you've received from God. And then lastly, we have the Spirit is also a resource. We have the Scriptures, the saints, and we have the Spirit. And this resource brings great comfort to us when we hurt. The experience of God's Spirit comforting you can only be yours if you are a Christian. God's Spirit moves in the Christian in a way that calms us if we let Him. God's Spirit comes in and He brings us, the Bible says, a peace that surpasses all understanding. Romans chapter 8 and verse 16, it says, His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. When you are secure as God's child, then you know that God is at work in your life, even when you're going through situations where you are hurting, where your heart is broken. Others are going to hurt you and cause pain, but through the Spirit of God, you can be assured that you are God's child. God's Spirit bears witness with your spirit that you are still a child of God. Well, I hope this has been a comfort to you today. And I want to ask you as we close, and we've just talked about God's Spirit, do you have God's Spirit in your life today? You know, again, it just breaks my heart to be in situations where I know that people don't have the resource of God in their life. One of the saddest things that I often go to, and I shouldn't say often, but when I do, I go to a funeral service where the person that died was not a Christian. And many of the family members are not a Christian. They don't even have any spiritual, connotation at all to their relationship and to the service that they're in. They have no real hope, nothing to comfort them. And you see people, in the funeral service, they're just grasping at ways to try to hug and console one another. But God's not part of the equation at all. They have no hope. You need Jesus in your life right now, my friend. The reason why you need Jesus in your life is not because you're going to die today, but because you're going to live tomorrow. And you're going to need to go through situations in life where your heart will be broken and where you will need the comfort of God. You will need the resource of God's people, the saints, the resource of God's Word, the Scriptures. You'll need the resource of the Spirit living in you. The Christian realizes that God is there, that He is there to help us, that He is there to give us that hope that we need, to give us those resources. But you don't have access to these resources. And again, unless you are a child of God, unless you come to Jesus Christ for salvation. So as we close this morning, think about your life right now. Think about your broken heart. Think about your need for Jesus today. If you're not a child of God, or if you have any question, any doubts about your relationship with God, and you're saying, I need to get right with God. Maybe today, upon your faith in Jesus Christ, you need to be baptized into Christ and wash away your sins and repent of your sins before being baptized. We want to invite you to do that, to mend your broken heart today. Or maybe you're already a Christian, but sin in your life is breaking your heart and you need to rededicate your life. If there's anything that we can help you with, would you come? As together right now, we stand and sing.